like to announce that the anti-Godzilla weapon is ready.
You could call it a Mechagodzilla. The one that came out of Mount Fuji is a cyborg. Mechagodzilla.
Mecha-G!
Cyborg?
Mechagodzilla! Mechagodzilla! Meet Godzilla Tech Demo.
Hello and welcome to Mechapodzilla. I'm Baz.
And I'm B. Today we are covering Godzilla Minus One, directed by Takashi Yamazaki, and starring Ryunosuke Kamiki and Minami Hamabe. Baz, this is a fucking good movie.
Last month, you know, we talked about Godzilla X Kong, which was dour. That was dour.
That was a dumb movie. That movie has an intelligence of two.
That was a movie that kind of made me question whether I did like Godzilla that much. But then, watching Minus One, like just the message and like the everything about it just like sucks me in. I had a very hard time taking notes for this episode because I got sucked into the movie.
There's a lot of gaps in my notes of just like, oh, that's a scene and that's a scene 20 minutes later, because I just like was so fucking enamored with this movie. It is phenomenal on so many levels. Like, we are gonna get deep into it, but my god,
I can confidently say, and I can speak for you on this, I think, I'm so confident about it, that everything that we didn't like about Godzilla X Kong is absent from this movie.
Absolutely.
Every time any character showed up in Godzilla X Kong, I kind of groaned internally. But I love everybody in this movie. Everyone did, like, feels, like, human and, like, normal, I guess, would be a word I could use.
They are, like, fully realized people with, like, realistic, tangible flaws and bonds to each other. Like, they're so real.
They are like the scene that is standing out to me right now as we're talking about the characters is, oh my gosh, I'm already forgetting the exact placement of it, but the dinner scene where the captain, Doc, and the kid are visiting Koichi and Noriko at their home, and they're having like a little like sort of family dinner almost, and just like the back and forth everyone has with each other just feels like, it feels full of life.
Yeah, no, I can pull that scene up on my copy of it right now. It is, they're just so friendly to each other. They're so realistic with the way they are all joking around and the things that they're like uncomfortable talking about, the things that make them stop talking, the things that make them start talking again. Like, the kid does a fucking like goofy ass kissy face. At one point, the captain's holding Akiko in his lap the whole time. Like, it is so, these people are like comrades, they are friends, they are family with each other, and they have their own real shit going on. Like, this is such a well fucking done movie. Like, from shot one, this is a good movie.
Yeah, shot one with like that, the zero coming in low over the Odo Island airfield, and yeah, like the angle, like we see it's like at a Dutch angle, so it's like we really are focused on the bomb that
the bomb is the first thing to come into frame.
Yeah,
and like it just like as he just flies into Odo Island, it just like the bomb comes into frame, and then it cuts to a camera behind, like locked behind the bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a subtle movie, folks. It's pretty on the nose, and it's all the better for it, I'd say.
Literally the first three cuts have the bomb on the bottom of his plane in center frame. it is not shying away from, yeah, this is the fucking focus of what this guy is doing right now. And as soon as he, like, sets down, he is shaking, he is breathing heavily, he is not doing great.
No, he's, I mean, he, Koichi, he's a kamikaze pilot, and he's not gonna do that shit. It's like the last week of World War II. The bomb has not been dropped on either Nagasaki or Hiroshima yet, but everyone can see the writings on the wall, and Koichi doesn't feel comfortable giving his life for that, mm-hmm. needlessly.
No, and I love that shot they cut to of him, like, the engineers are working on the plane, they're checking it out, and they just look to him, and he's just sitting there, like, haggard and terrified, and you can feel the anxiety coming off this man in that shot.
Yeah, and then we're also, that introduces us to, I don't know what I would call Tachibana. He's not like a character foil for Koichi, but he's, but he does offer some kind words, sort of.
He doesn't, like, outright say, like, oh yeah, I know what you're trying to do, but he kind of, there's an unspoken sympathy in the way he delivers the line and the way he talks to him.
He's basically saying, like, yeah, I get it. I wouldn't do that shit either. It's pointless. And to kind of expand on how, like, it was enjoyable to see, like, pretty much any character, even, like, the engineers, they have, like, a line or two. I don't know, they seem like cool guys.
Yeah, no, there's the guy who comes up to Shigeshima on the, like, coast, and he's like, I get it. I, like, you shouldn't do this. I'm with you. I support it, your decision. There's the, like, glasses guy who's the one who actually knows what the fuck's going on with Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I hadn't seen this since December, and I'd forgotten, just, like, Godzilla shows up pretty damn quick in this movie.
He shows up early and in a fucking fantastic reveal. It is, like, it got me in the theater. I remember jumping.
Oh, yeah, they didn't fucking hold back, like,
Yeah, no, they hear the sirens, they get their watchman to shine the light, and then fucking there he is, roaring loud as hell, charging at him.
Just crashes right through.
It's pretty terrifying. I'm gonna say this a lot in this episode. His fucking roar in this movie is impeccable. Like, the sound design as a whole is great, but the roar is amazing. It is so, it feels like it is peaking the mic.
It pretty much was.
Like, it feels like you are there, and this massive fucking thing is screaming at you with the appropriate decibel level for something with that big of a vocal cords.
Like, I will say, and this is kind of like to flex on any listeners that didn't get to see this in theaters, it was bone shaking in theaters. Like,
oh my god. Really,
like, and before we get any further, this is an Oscar winning Godzilla film.
This is the first fucking Oscar winning movie.
First Godzilla film to win Oscar gold, and deservedly so, because, like, I would say that the Nighttime Attack is, like, one of the two, like, big standout effects scenes in the movie. It looks really damn good, like, with the spotlight lighting up a little bit of Godzilla.
And then as soon as he steps on it, it explodes, and it's lit by fire then. There's a really good, there's a one-er, a, like, a one-take shot. Basically, as soon as Godzilla steps on their little trench, like, for, like, a whole minute, it is just this one take of just watching them run around. So, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, go fucking watch it. Stop watching this podcast, and go fucking watch this movie, because it's good. And then when you come back, you'll remember, he's kind of little at the start. He's small. Like, he's not that big.
Well, relatively. He's still
a fucking huge
minimum. Minimum, he's T-Rex size. Minimum.
Yeah. But he's not like building, crushing under his feet sized.
Not yet.
He's small enough that he reaches down and fucking bites dudes off the ground.
And he's tossing them like they're nothing.
He's not eating them. He ain't hungry. He just wants to fuck them up.
Let's be fair to Godzilla here. They did shoot him for no reason.
Yeah, quite a lot.
He's just hanging out.
He's just chilling. I mean, the first guy in the watchtower didn't really deserve it. He was just kind of shining a flashlight around.
Listen, he got what he was asking for, all right? he was a combatant in a war. Shit happens. That's all I can say on the matter.
I see.
Godzilla did nothing wrong.
we'll come back to that.
We will return.
We'll revisit that statement of yours in a bit. there's a fantastic one take where it pans up to watch Godzilla and then pans back down to everyone running around on the ground, and it feels very much like you are it's the classic thing of oh wow, it's so immersive, but it feels like you're on the ground in the moment watching these people freak the fuck out.
Oh, so you're saying that when the camera is put into a human perspective, it makes the monsters look better?
It sure does.
And that makes for a visually striking and effective monster film.
Gee, I sure think it does.
I wish we could get some of that. More of that, please.
This certainly is how every monster film is shot, right? Right?
I would hope so. I would hope so.
Please.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable seeing a little mini Godzilla mess up some soldiers. We haven't seen that since Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. This one was a little more terrifying and less fun than that sequence.
He's very much into throwing stuff around.
Yeah, he's bored. He's like a little kitty cat. This is very cat-like Godzilla. He's playing. He's having a good time.
He's got a very saliva-y mouth, I've noticed.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of spit strands in there.
Yeah, I guess, he's like a sea creature. I guess they've got a lot of spit or something. I don't know.
It makes for a good visual.
Yeah. And we do see all that Godzilla spit as, cause Koichi gets, goes unconscious for the first time in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't know if you noticed, but what was it?
There's three times
he gets knocked out. Actually, no. No, three times he gets knocked out. They are beating the shit out of this man in this movie.
He's got a couple concussions. Got to get that looked at.
But yeah, with how crazy that the first Godzilla attack is, after he wakes up and everyone else is dead except for him and Tachibana. And we didn't talk about it yet, but Tachibana tried to basically get him to sort of kamikaze Godzilla.
He wanted him to shoot him. But it was plane very guns. Clearly, it's fucking Godzilla, man. What the fuck are you gonna do? B, he picks that shit up like a fucking, paper airplane and tosses it later. Nuh-uh. I totally get why Tachibana is pissed off, but also, Shikishima was completely justified in not doing that. Which is another great character thing. These dudes are both in the right, but because of the horrible circumstances, they're pissed the fuck off at each other.
Yeah, and it's not none of the emotions that any of the characters feel throughout the entire film feel unwarranted or there's an extreme sort of misunderstanding. There's conflict in the emotional expressions of each character, but they don't feel frustrating. They feel I can see where kind of both of these people are coming from with what we've seen in the movie.
No, they're both like so like justified in what they've done and how they're feeling, but also it's reasonable them to be fucking pissed at each other. Like every single one of Tachibana's friends is fucking dead and eaten. But Shikishima would have died.
Yeah, everybody would have died. But, and then, like, going from, like, that intensity to this, the intensity of the Godzilla attack to the intensity of the argument between Tachibana and Koichi, and then the movie kind of, like, slows down a little bit.
Yeah.
And
like, Koichi Shikishima, he can't even talk. He doesn't, I don't think he says a word when he wakes up.
He doesn't have anything to say.
He can't. He's in shock, and I just have to give a shout-out, because Tachibana is a fucking real one doing all that with a fucking busted-ass knee. Like, this guy is a real one.
Got everybody covered in blankets. I don't know, trying to give him what little respect he can.
He's got out like a bottle of sake and a melon as like a like offerings kind of thing. This is a good movie.
It's really good. And then like I don't know if you get this implication as well. Well, I don't know, it's not really implied. It is implied. But we see all the soldiers on like a big transport boat. Mm-hmm. Going home, and like I could, like they don't show the bombs, in this movie. We don't see that happen. That's mm-hmm. not what this movie like. This movie is like about that, but it's not like about that specific.
Honestly, this movie like, is moment. Way more about the other bombings of Japan than the
yeah the fire bombings.
Yeah, yeah, the you know fucking endless fire bombings that. Basically leveled most of the major cities. Haha, America done that.
Even though they don't show the atomic bombs, the mood on the ship and like just the music and the way that like all the soldiers, all the people look, like I feel it. I feel like you know what happened. Everybody knows what happened. We yeah. don't need to see it. We know. And the like this movie respects the audience in that way, and we see the effect of like the firebombing, like Koichi.
Oh, we see it intensely.
His parents are dead. His neighborhood is completely gone. He's got technically a shack.
Everything here feels so real. Like it feels very authentically. Like I mean, the people who worked on this movie probably knew. Like have family who lived through this,
most definitely at this point.
Like, I mean, there's a good chance some of them who worked on it did live through it themselves. This is a very like notable event in Japanese history. Stepping back one second, I want to name one thing that I dislike about this movie. Just something that kind of bugs me. It's not a big deal, but it does kind of irk me a little bit. It does it a couple times, but the movie like focuses on things and then is like, oh, but we're not going to show you what it is until later. Ooh, be worried about it, be concerned, be interested. And it's very clear what the thing is to begin with. Cause like, yeah, when they're on the ship coming home, Tachibana comes up to Shikishima and gives him a little package of something. And, like, forces it on him and then walks away angrily. And Shikishima opens it up and reacts with shock and folds it back up and puts it away. And, like, later on he looks at it on a shrine and is all, like, concerned about it. And you don't find out what it is until later. But I feel like it's pretty obvious that it's like, oh, that's the dead guy's, like, pictures and things. Is that just me? Am I being nitpicky?
You might be being just a little bit nitpicky.
I
personally didn't mind it that much. I also did kind of guess that's basically what it was. I think the reasoning behind that was it just felt like they are like they don't want to front load all of this, all these like emotional beats into like one scene.
Fair.
Like, but like I don't disagree that like that can be a little annoying is a bit too strong of a word.
It but, like, just kind of felt like, yeah, I've seen a war movie before. I know what that probably is. You guys don't need to play coy about it. But that one is definitely, like, I will admit that's probably more of a nitpick than anything. There is an instance of this later on that, like, actually is a issue I have with some of the editing of the film.
But yeah, Koichi, he gets back to, quote-unquote, home.
What is it's barely his left parents, of it?
His parents are dead. They were killed in the firebombing.
His neighbor's children are dead. And
it's just her.
And she is very aware that he was a kamikaze pilot.
Mm-hmm. She, it was pretty wild. I didn't think they would have managed to get low-tier God into this movie.
He did a great job. You can't say that!
Well, she told him to just, like, to, she just practically tells him to kill himself. Like, or ask him, why didn't you fucking kill yourself?
Oh my god. You can't fucking compare this fantastically written character to low-tier fucking God.
I can't. I'm not. I would never. She Sumiko is better. Great.
She is fantastic in how justified her anger feels. And you want to, like, be like, no, she can't be mad at him. It's our character. We like him. And, like, oh, it was a horrible thing that she wants him to do. But, like, you can't really be mad at her.
No, she's especially because she gets over it pretty quick. Yeah, and she gets over her anger at Koichi pretty quick. Like,
yeah, like, she's still a good person. She's still nice and caring. She's just
traumatized.
She's been through the fucking worst thing imaginable.
Yeah, like, it's, again, this movie has no, like, unreasonable, like, emotional explosions in it. All the emotional explosions are real as fuck.
It's a movie with nuance. Who could have thought? We could have Godzilla movies with nuance in them.
I think Takashi Yamazaki thought we could.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
But yeah, like, Sumiko is... I like her character. I think she's the foil for Koichi.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, because she's the one that hits him. Like, Tachibana is, like, pissed at him and, like, you know, kind of reads Koichi the riot act. But Sumiko, that's his next-door neighbor. And she, like, really goes in on him. Like, she gets really mean. Like, Tachibana did not tell, directly tell, like, Koichi, like, you should kamikaze, but, like, she did.
She's upfront about it, and she is not gonna shy away from reminding him the way she feels for the first portion of this movie.
Mm-mm. But, like, yeah, and, like, we're left to just sit with the emotional and physical devastation that, that has been wreaked on Tokyo.
Like, he doesn't even have a, like, roof or even just a tarp above his head for the first bit. He is sitting in the burned out rubble of his home.
Left with nothing.
He's got a bunch of burned sticks and bricks.
And, like, I guess, and, like, while he's kind of just walking around in shock, that's when we get, Noriko.
Yeah, he's eating some noodles. He gets some ramen.
Good. I'm glad.
He gets a meal.
He gets some real damn food for once. Mm-hmm. She just shoves a baby in his hands because she's doing some cool reallocation of resources.
Oh yeah. And he like full on like body blocks her, like, and then she just throws a baby in his hands.
Honestly, she's like,
great.
Noriko, I think, is my favorite character in the movie. Well, she is my favorite character in the movie. up until the point where she leaves it for a little while.
Yeah. She is excellent. I have in my notes, like, I love that she is a shit heel for the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's a little crime.
It gives her so much character beyond just being like, oh, she's the wife, she's the girlfriend. No, she's a little shit heel for a bit. And, like, she's just doing what she has to get by. But she's doing a really fucking, like, genuinely, truly noble act.
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody loves a thief with a heart of gold. There's not a single person that isn't a sucker for that shit. It's great stuff. And, you know, Minami, she was in Shin Kamen Rider.
She was. I haven't seen
her. She turned into bubbles in that movie.
I'll take your word for it.
These tokusatsu movies love killing her. They love blowing her up. If they do like a Gamera revival, I'm like praying that she's not in it.
She was in
I'd love to see her in it, but I think she'd get like squished or something at this point. Like, my God.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about Koichi getting the shit beat out of him, but freaking poor Noriko.
Yeah, she has to deal with it a lot in this movie.
Because, yeah, the Godzilla Minus One, like, does not, it pulls no punches. Like, it is not, like, everybody's at risk in this movie. It feels like everyone's at risk of dying. Like, you know, whereas, like, you know, some other Godzilla movies, even if, like, you're having fun watching it, you're like, I'm not worried about any of these characters.
I felt zero threat to any of the characters' lives in, like, X-Kong, except for the one guy who, like, literally was like, oh, I'm getting eaten out here, and then got eaten.
And, yeah, and then, yeah. And, of course, how many people live in Rio de Janeiro? Like 3 million?
Quite a few.
Yeah, like...
They don't count. They're not characters. We didn't see any of them on screen, except for the few that we did.
That got squished.
Yeah. Except for the few that Kong pointedly looked at and then stepped on.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like... Noriko Pass, like... Noriko is doing this act of kindness for this baby and trying to take care of it. And then, but we see Koichi also make that same choice. Like, he almost leaves the baby behind.
And he can't.
Almost.
He can't.
But, yeah, he can't. Not even for, like, he didn't even make it, like, 5 feet away from that little cute, that was, like, the cutest baby I've seen in a movie in, like, forever. Like, oh my God.
Koichi's a really good baby.
Like,
she's a good baby actor. Like, all the various toddlers and babies that they use for her.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the oldest toddler, like, the one that's, like, we see the most of.
Oh,
she was doing great.
She's excellent. There is a scene where you can tell they had to cut and then make her cry and then turn the camera back on.
But that's good cry.
It's a good cry. It's a good, real, like, genuine baby cry. They probably, like, took her toy away from her.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. The standout Akiko moment is like when Noriko's making, I forget, it's like a stew or something.
Oh,
and
the
she's
soup
like
with radish.
Yeah. And like, it was nice. It was really nice. Like, cause you see, Koichi and Noriko and Akiko, and they're all just like having like a nice little family morning. And it's really sweet.
That's a good scene.
But that is after we have, like, years after...
Yeah, that's a few years
Koichi
in the future.
Gets back. Yeah. But yeah, Noriko manages to, like, swindle her way into Koichi's hovel just to, like, have a half a roof over her head.
Like, he literally turns around and turns back and she's asleep. He's like, fuck! Like,
now I'm stuck with her. And with Sumiko, it's like the day after.
Yeah, she offers to help. Cause
after giving Koichi some snark. We can't deny her that she's got some vitriol in her.
But like, still, she can't leave these people in this situation. She needs, like, she wants to do something, you know.
Very specifically, the baby.
Yeah.
Very because like, she lost her children.
Yeah. But like, she still like offers, you know, to like help. And she still cares, she gives him
rice
about that.
Her good white rice.
Yeah. And she's kind of pissed about it, but she's like, no, the baby is more important. Us adults, mm-hmm. we can survive. You've got to take care of her.
Yeah, us, what she said, us adults can eat, can survive on anything. Make rice gruel. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Koichi. Oh, okay. Now we're about
forward
to get
a bit.
Just a little bit, and we're about to get to some of my other favorite characters in this movie.
Oh, yeah. But no, we have a fantastic argument between the two, cause Koichi gets a job disarming mines, and it's a dangerous job. It's, you know, high explosives. And you know, she's terrified. She doesn't want him to die. She doesn't want to lose him. And it feels just so real. Like, this is such a realistic argument to have. And it's so... this is a good movie.
It's a really fucking good movie. I actually did put down in my notes, like, because, like, on the second watching, like, the way Koichi was talking about the minesweeping job, it had me thinking, like, well, even if he was too afraid for... If he was too afraid to be a kamikaze pilot, it seems a little odd he'd do this. I wonder if he has, like, a death wish from, like, just from, like, the trauma and, like, the guilt. But then I did kind of think, like, oh, yeah, well, kamikaze, that is certain death. Minesweeping, that's just a chance, relatively, that you could get blown up and die.
But also with the money that he gets paid, he says, like, with this, like, with the ability to buy even just like powdered milk for the baby, I'd be willing to ... And like, he's still like, he's got something to do, and he's got something he very passionately cares about. And fucking good character writing.
And speaking of good character writing, we're shortly introduced to, I forget the name of the ship, but the crew, the minesweeper crew. You love Dr. Noda? I love Dr. Noda.
I love the whole crew. Yeah, we've got Noda, the doc. We've got Mizushima, the kid. We've got fucking Captain Tachibana.
No, not Tachibana, Captain Akitsu.
Fuck. Cut that out.
No. and they're great. Like, the chemistry in this movie between the cast is, like, electric.
They are so good. They feel so real again. Everyone is so real. Also, I want to say, I love these, like, few bits of humor in this movie, because they also feel just like it's very, again, real humor. Like, when he's like, oh, it's gonna be a specially made boat for minesweeping, and he shows up and it's a dinky ass wooden boat, and he's like, this is the boat? Fuck.
Well, the Americans magnetic mines be.
I know, but it's just a great moment of, like, he's hyping it up, like, yeah, it's got a special boat, it's gonna be awesome, yeah, we're gonna be super safe. What the fuck is this?
Just a piece of shit wooden boat, yeah. And yeah, there's a little bit of, you know, they're chatting each other up, seeing what's what. Captain seems dismayed that he's got a pilot coming on to his ship and not, like, another sailor. But, you know, he's willing to work and teach.
And the kid is hyped.
Mizushima, like, yeah, he's very much a new adult that didn't go to war, and isn't familiar with what that inflicts as the other three members of the crew.
He is sad to have not gone to war, which tells you a lot about his character.
Mm-hmm.
And how everyone else acts towards him.
Yeah, they show us how they do their job of, like, they have their sister ship, and they cut mine cords with, like, a underwater scissor wire, and then they shoot them and blow them up real good. And it turns out Koichi's a crack shot in this movie. He don't miss.
He's pretty ever. Good.
Like, he's beyond good. He's damn good. Like, he gets that first mine one burst. Boom. Mm-hmm. And everything just seems really good at that point. Like, everything's really nice.
They do a lovely little montage.
We get a montage, and, like, that whole montage, it takes place over a few years, but just the whole vibe of it was just, like, a really nice summer, where just, like, nothing really bad happened. You had a bunch of fun at your, like, you know, work wasn't too bad. You made some new friends. You got, you know, you're not wife and you're not girlfriend.
And you're not baby.
And you're not baby. They're, like, you're all having a, you have great home life. You got a new house. You got, like, a real house now.
Yeah, they built up a little dining room.
It's just really cozy, and it's like, you feel like the kind of, like, healing going on.
What is not being mentioned during that nice summer that you're not thinking about is all the, you know, various other, like, life things going on, and then also the nuclear blast that mutates an undersea dinosaur into a horrible atomic monster.
Oh, man. I gotta say, for how much Godzilla Minus One is the only time I've ever actually hated Godzilla.
He is only a time. Vile creature in this movie.
But even then, I do feel awful for what happened. Because, like, you see, we see the bomb, the Bikini Atoll test go off.
Yeah, Operation Crossroads, of course.
And just the burning off of, like Godzilla's eyes get burned off, his flesh his burned off. His
skin bubbles. It's rough to see.
Nobody comes out of this movie unscathed, not even Godzilla. But, like, and then that pained roar of his as, like, it fades out, and then it's like a bunch of, like, newsreel, but, like, debriefing footage.
Yeah.
And it's really, like, the animated map they show of, like, Godzilla's movements and stuff.
It's really great. Cool. It feels so separate from the rest of the movie so far. Like, yeah, we had Godzilla in the beginning, but it feels like very much like a impending, like, dark incoming.
Yeah, they showed us everyone happy and how much their lives have gotten better since the start of the movie, and that whole sequence is to show us that is all about to go away.
And they have a great, great moment. They're having a little dinner party to celebrate. You know, they just built their new house. And they're, like, hanging out, eating dinner. Noda's got his camera, and he snaps a picture of Noriko. And there's just a freeze frame of her just there, beautiful, next to him. And it's very pleasant, and it's very sweet. And it feels very pointed to be a very lingered-on freeze frame. Kind of got me, actually, knowing what goes on in this movie.
Yeah, it really got me, too. Like, just, like, I cried, like, 3 times in this movie, I think, on this watch. Like, I mean, it hits me. What can I say?
It's a good-ass movie. But, no, they have their lovely dinner. Akiko, you know, calls calls Shikishima dad, Tosan, but he ain't having it. He don't want it. He's no daddy.
He puts his hand on her shoulder. He's like, I'm not your daddy. And does she just start crying after that, after he says that?
No, I think she's still a pretty chill baby. The rest of the crew fucking riv him until he's like, fuck off. I don't want to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps drinking. And they're all like, oh, man. Like, they all, like...
They're also like, wait, because Mizushima, he's trying to, like, hit on Noriko. And Noda's like, oh, she's married, leave her alone. And she says she's not married. Mm-hmm. And then they really get Koichi for that. They're like, why the hell even you married her? You've been living... Because they've been living together for, like, 2 years at that point.
Well, they're also like, oh, it's so sweet, though, that you're, like, caring for her. Even if you're not married and that's not your baby, like, you're noble, you're sweet, and, like, cool for doing this, man. And he is. He's, like, a fucking real one for this.
He's a sweetie pie. We love Koichi.
He's a, like, fan... He's doing what he can, like, to make up for what he feels like he did wrong.
Mm-hmm. And admittedly, like, Noriko is also helping him, because we do get... There's that, like, nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
Where he goes outside the house, and it's just... It's the Odo Island Garrison Massacre just all over again.
It's a, like, strong depiction of just, like, a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. And just... Really, it was a really cool shot when he opens the door and all the mechanics, like, we see them, like, running and getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very sort of, like, it to me, it evoked that of, like, when you're anxious about something and then it kind of comes true. Yeah. Like, that's what that was. Very, very strong feeling. Like, again, this is a very emotionally strong movie on just, like, many different levels.
Also, I really want to just emphasize, stepping back to the little, like, beautiful little summer montage, I fucking love Akiko's drawing of Shikishima that he keeps in his notebook.
Oh.
It's so bad. It's so, they got that kid actor to really draw him.
Yeah, it's
just so like a scribbled ass circle. I love it.
I know, it was so sweet.
It's so bad.
Oh my god. Well, she's two. What are you gonna do?
It's great. I love it. It's so bad.
Oh.
Just a fucking... Like, I think my favorite part about this drawing is it's not even like a smiley face. It's just like a blank expression.
Well, that's what he fucking looks like. Koichi is not a smiler. He's not a smiler.
Yeah. But it's just so funny to me that this little kid is like, here, daddy, here is your picture. And it's just a fucking, like, blank-ass stare.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. I love stupid kid drawings. Like, I want to know if they got the kid actor to draw it, or if they had, like, a PA be like they were like, okay, you need to make a kid's drawing
right now. Someone that's... I've seen a lot of, like, kindergarten-level drawings...
Mm-hmm.
That was a PA drawing. That was an adult drawing like a child would draw. I hate to ruin the magic for you and for the listeners. That makes it
better to me.
Because it takes talent to draw like a little kid does. Like, yeah. That's something you gotta work on doing that.
Oh yeah.
All of the metaphorically summertime happiness ends. As
well, first, Noriko gets a job in Ginza. She's a working woman now. She's got her own gig.
That's true. Yeah. Because she heard Koichi have some remarks about like having to take care of them, and she wants to be able to stand for herself and doesn't want to feel like she's taking too much from him. I guess, which she wasn't taking anything from him. He was giving.
Mm-hmm.
But that is when they go for the super secret mission.
Mm-hmm.
where it's revealed that they find this, like, it was really, again, we're saying this so many times, really cool shot of, like, a wrecked American destroyer just in the middle of the ocean. And
it is fucked, too. Like, it is.
Oh, yeah. Like, just torn apart.
Like, is it a fucking shark?
I mean, good question. Good question, you know. It could be a megalodon.
Fujita? Is it the Soviets? It's the fucking Reds.
Communist Godzilla would be... Well, no, because Godzilla hates communists, as we've seen in King Kong versus Godzilla, where he did destroy that Soviet garrison.
Oh.
So, yeah, I guess...
I see.
He's not there.
Godzilla is not based.
No, he's not, unfortunately.
We'll have to re-educate him.
Yeah. Don't worry, liberals. I have been re-educated. But
when is Godzilla versus SJW Bush?
Oh God, that might be the next Wingard picture.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, it might actually end up being good then.
Oh shit. Well. Oh, but no, because if he's SJW Bush, then that means Godzilla is anti-woke. I wouldn't put it past Wingard.
But wait, but shit, Godzilla was just woke.
Oh, and fuck. Now he's gonna... He's playing both sides.
Oh, he's a grifterzilla.
Oh my god. You've cracked the code.
Man, that Wingard, he's clever. He's clever, but us here at Mechapodzilla, we're a little bit of a cut above.
We figured it out, fucking Adam. Adam Wingard. We know your secrets. You can't hide from us.
What were you going
to
say?
I do like when they, you know, they're discussing, you know, what the fuck did that to the boat. Noda kind of... He's acting like he knows a bit more than he says. And I feel like that's... I don't know. That feels purposeful. Especially for his role later in the film. Like, he is more...
He did weapons development for the Japanese Imperial Navy. Like, look, as much as I like Noda as a character, I'm pretty sure he probably maybe should have been at the Nuremberg trials.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe just a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Like, yeah, he's very... There is high likelihood he's got, like, government contacts. Because he is not, like... that gobsmacked at Koichi's claim of Godzilla like a giant, like a dinosaur or whatever.
He's like I was skeptical, but then I saw this and now I'm not.
Which I like that angle of like somebody that's, they've got like a medium level of doubt, like, but they aren't like whole hog in on it.
Yeah.
But they're like, this is like, kind of convincing me.
He's leaning towards it, and he's curious.
But we do also get some characterization for Captain, and honestly we get some characterization for everybody here.
Oh yeah,
we get hi Mimo. We get the kid, he's talking about like, oh, I wish I could have, the war had gone on like a little bit longer so I could have done some stuff, and like Koichi just like grabbing him by the life vest and just like, you don't mean that.
Yeah. And then in this conversation is also where they learn from Koichi that he was a kamikaze pilot who didn't go through with it, and they are all kind of like sobered by that fact.
Mm-hmm. And but then none of them give him shit for that.
No.
They just don't say anything.
They are like, even the kid who's like, yeah, war, woo, is
mouth shut.
He's kind of like, oh shit. Like, no one says anything, but they're pretty believing that no one is like, hey, motherfucker, you're completely lying about Godzilla. Like, they're like, wait, if this is real, then what the fuck?
Yeah, because, like, they see, they're looking at some very weird shit. Like, this ship has, it's got, like, claw marks dug into it. It looks like it got mauled by a fucking bear.
And there's a bunch of fucking, like, weird-ass dead fish, too.
Mm-hmm. Similar to the ones that showed up on Odo Island. I think there might be something going on.
Yeah. But no, Noda knows, like, way too much. He's like, yeah, no, the Takao's coming. We're out here to, like, stall for something. Like, he's getting secret orders.
Mm-hmm. And Captain, he's got some shit to say, because, what does he go on about, like... they're like, oh, the Americans, but also very specifically of the Japanese government. It's like, oh, a gag order. They love doing gag orders. I'd love to not talk about, like, this, like, rough shit we have to do. Like being very, like oh, yeah, send us, like, the mooks who can't do shit to clean up this mess for, like, political machinations because, like, the Americans can't do anything because that might draw Soviet ire and attention. And he then proceeds to give a little mini speech about how, like, this shit sucks, but somebody's got to do it because if they don't do it, then whatever hit this boat is going to head for Tokyo. And he, what is he? He said, I can't stand to see my city in flames again, which hard bodied line.
That's kind of like the whole fucking ethos of the movie.
But then in another comedic bit for the film, like right after he says that, Godzilla just instant like air jawses their sister ship, and the captain's just like, nope, okay, never mind, we're leaving.
Just fucking like out of the water. You see the dudes go flying too, and then he's like, never mind. Oh, it's great. I love him. And
I think, and that takes us to, like, I enjoy the whole of Godzilla Minus One. I think the boat chase sequence is, like, the highest point for me.
This is a phenomenal piece of filmmaking here. Like, every shot is as good as the last. It is tense. It is, like, the score is so good. Like, the score is just like a droning air raid siren the whole time until there's like the mine.
It drones and, like, there's, like, a little bit of pulsing, just like kind of like just like you just feel it in the back of your head. Like that just, like, it feels like Godzilla's chasing you if you're listening to it.
I wrote it down even. He does like the little, like, I don't know what kind of sound to call it. I wrote it as, like, bwomps that the fucking Dune sandworms do in the new Dune movies. Like, the, like, bonk, 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 bonk sound. Like, that deep, like...
It's like a big animal sound.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah, like, something in his throat, like, popping, almost. And it sells the scale of him.
Yeah, and, like... I guess I really and another thing with this boat chase is the way that, like, Godzilla is, like, swimming in this movie, where it's like crocodile-like. He's not, like, walking after them, he's, like, swimming.
Yeah, he does a little back and forth motion, you know?
And he's got, like, the entire time his eyes are just, like, calmly locked
his fucking onto the eyes boat. Like, I wrote down, like, he's got such a malice in his eyes. He wants them dead personally.
And since they're, like, minesweepers, you know, they were using the mines. And again, this is probably, like, this is, like, exactly why this movie won an Oscar for visual effects. Like, that the first mine they throw at Godzilla, it, like, explodes on his back. And we see, like, you know, there's big sea spray. And like, we see... And then Godzilla just, like, swims out from, like, this, like, little mini fog bank they created. And it feels really real.
There's a shot where they, like, a wide shot. A very wide, like, helicopter shot, not, you know. and you can just see the wake behind him, and he is displacing so much water.
It looks like the boat's going to get sucked up, like, into him.
So, like, they got the size and mass of him down.
And like, another thing, like, so they have that second mine, right, that they get into his mouth. And, like, they have a shot where they show the mine in the mouth. Oh. I thought they had, like, built a big prop head. They didn't, apparently.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Yeah, no, I'm on the frame right now. That's a real fucking Godzilla mouth. It's so wet and meaty.
And speaking of freaking wet and meaty, they blow his goddamn head off.
They fucking pop him, dude.
Like, Koichi's a crack shot. He don't miss. Ever.
And, like, the explosion is visceral, too. Like, it is a loud, bang explosion. Like, they get hit with some debris and force. Kid breaks his arm.
Yeah. Koichi, like, is, like, gashed in the head. Everybody's fucked up from this. Nobody's coming out of this movie unscathed.
And it is a meaty blow, and it just fucking seals over.
And, if you got the film, you should absolutely do a freeze frame at, like, the earliest bit you can see Godzilla's face, and because his eyeballs are popped out from that fucking explosion.
Oh, yeah. No, it is,
like,
it is rough. It is painful to look at. He's missing an eyeball. Like, but it just bubbles back in.
Yeah, he's got Organizer G1 in him.
I just have to say, I love this design. It is a fantastic visual, like, change for him. Just the way he's, like, he looks like he's been, like, dry brushed with copper and brass all over. And I kind of get the vibe of, like, fungus, almost, on some of him. Like, kind of, like, his shoulders kind of look almost fungal, in a way. It's very organic and very weird. I love the way the back plates look. They kind of look like a topographic map, almost.
Look for... It's a bit of a glow-up.
It's a fantastic design. Like, he is... He's looked equally as good at times, but he has never... Like, he's never looked this good in this way. It's really good. It's really good.
And he looks even better when he's tearing a huge battleship to just absolute shreds.
Oh, yeah. I do really like... They kind of hold out for a bit. He like, stands up after they blow his fucking face off. He stands up, he gets ready to do the roar, he winds up, and then they fucking shoot him mid-roar.
I have in my notes, in all caps, TAKAO!
I wrote TAKAO censoring. And they nail him a bunch, too. He takes some hits.
Like, yeah, and he... But, you know, how many times has Godzilla been knocked underwater by something only to immediately just blow it up right after? That's what he does. It's what he's good at. He jumps out of the water and he's like, he starts mauling. It looks like when my cat gets a hold of one of his stuffed toys. Like but he's like really tearing into it. Like, and it's very animalistic. The sailors all look terrified, but they manage to get a broadside off onto him and knock him off the boat again.
And then the water starts glowing. And every Godzilla fan knows what that means. But, boy, they do a good change-up. I love it.
They do. It's like a... It's not like a flamethrower breath or
like
a laser beam.
It's like a bullet.
It's like a bullet or like a... I would say like a rail cannon. A very heavy artillery cannon or something like that. Just something...
Like, it is a singular shot of atomic breath this time.
Yeah.
I just have to say, With the amount of other, like, Japanese media featuring things that shoot, like, beams out of their mouths that took inspiration from Shin Godzilla, like, all the fucking Dark Souls bosses that did the fucking flame breath into laser beam, I'm excited to see what they do with this beam.
I don't think From Software, those players are in for a time if they have to deal with a film accurate style atomic laser blast from a boss. That's going to be kind of tough to, you're going to have to really practice your role to get those iframes.
I'll fucking do it.
Oh, I know you will. You're a pro gamer.
How's Helldivers, by the way?
I don't know what the hell Sony's doing. This is Godzilla podcast, not a gamer podcast. We have standards here.
Oh my god.
But yeah, no, like the Godzilla atomic breath rail can, like, artillery cannon that Godzilla has. Like, it's, I was very impressed by the Shin Godzilla atomic breath scene. That's like standout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrified. I'm like terrified of the minus one.
No, it's fast. Like Shin Godzilla, there was a lot of build up. There was a lot of, like, it's a long scene where he's, you know, like breathing the fire, focusing the beam, swinging it around town, killing the prime minister, etc. But this is just, and fucking dead.
Mm-hmm. Like
the explosion on the boat is terrifying.
It is, like, the thing minus one does that is different from pretty much every other, like, I think the only other one that's like not reveled in the destruction is Gojira.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the other ones, the destruction of the city is, like, kind of, like, the fun part.
Yeah. It's like, waha, look at them. He's romping around the stage.
Like, woo. Yeah, it's, oh, King Kong and Godzilla, they're destroying that castle while they fight. That's kind of funny. But this is, like,
it's such whiplash to go from, like, X-Kong, where they're just rolling across cities, like, squishing infinite people, to this where, like, it is treated as just devastating.
Yeah. We're in the crowd as it's all happening. And we're on the boat when, like, Godzilla's tearing into it. We're on the minesweeper as the Takao just gets completely obliterated. And we see Godzilla just, like, standing in the smoking wreckage, his own body on fire from his own weapon.
He's fucked up. He is, like, scarred and peeling.
Like, yeah, because his, like, that's such a genius touch they did, is to have the Godzilla's heat ray hurt himself to use it.
And then when he finally does do the full roar afterwards, it sounds painful. Like, he burned his throat shooting that thing, and now he is, like, angry.
Mm-hmm. Then he just dips. He's like, alright, I'm out.
And so does our guy. He just kind of nods off.
That's knockout number two, folks. For those of you keeping track at home.
Knockout number two!
Yeah, honestly, Godzilla's kind of winning these bouts. Yeah. I don't know if Koichi's going to be able to clutch it in the end.
He got some good hits in the last time, though. He got some good hits in.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, still went down.
Yeah, he wakes up in, like, the hospital, and he's like, "What? Why aren't we doing anything?" Because this is a very, like, kind of anti-government movie. I get, like, a little bit of a libertarian bent from this picture.
It is a little much on the, like, oh, the government does nothing. We, the free soldiers, with our own military power, will
take control. Our private citizens, our sovereign citizens. Like, this is like a little bit of a libertarian wet dream kind of movie. At least the ending is.
A little bit. Like, I want to be nice to the movie, and I don't want to call it libertarian.
Yeah, I don't know if I would, like, call it, like, it's like, this is, like, libertarian propaganda. I, like, because I do think... It does have the bend. Yeah, it's got the bend, but, like, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say, like, after everything that's been shown in the movie of a government that essentially kind of, like, collapsed and is, like, reforming and is under, like, direct occupational control of the United States. Mm-hmm. And there's a situation where they've been completely abandoned by everybody, mm-hmm. which is something that happens in disasters like Hurricane Katrina in the United States, like where the government essentially abandons an entire city or populace to a disaster. And it's up to the people that live there to deal with it in their own way. And that's like my read of the movie. Less that it's explicitly libertarian and more of a, like, we have to, it is more of a, we have to come together with the tools that we have to deal with this problem.
Yeah. The people are not the government, and the people deserve to be able to sit, like, the people don't deserve to be protected and served by the government. And when the government fails, and maybe they do have to take things into their own hands, but they shouldn't have to.
Yeah. But exactly.
It's a very, I don't know, it's just...
It is kind of similar to Shin Godzilla in that aspect. Yeah. But it's from the outside instead of the inside workings of the government. Yeah. Where, like, you know, Shin, it's like all the young government officials, they're only able to do something because all the old ones got killed by Godzilla.
Yeah. This, it is much more... The government is not doing anything. We outside the government must act.
And that's actually kind of interesting because, like, in most of these Godzilla movies, the character, like, we'll get, like, scenes with the government in them. Mm-hmm. Like, the, you know, the prime minister, will call a council and be like, what are we going to do about this Godzilla attack? But there isn't anything like that. It is just a, it's a local council, essentially.
Yeah.
Coming together.
It is very focused on specifically our characters, and specifically Shikishima. Like, he is the focal point of the whole movie. We don't really see much without him. And honestly, the few times we see stuff happening without him, it's Godzilla on his own, or it's the people closest to him, like Akiko or Noriko.
Yeah, but we follow, Koichi is who we stick with through the whole movie, like you said. And again, that the movie's stronger for it. Like, it's strong. Like, there's no, like, cut to Godzilla taking a shower or anything like that, having a nice day. Godzilla's there to be...
He's there to kill and to destroy.
Yeah.
And to traumatize. I do actually want to bring something up. With Shishima, he's a very much about wanting to get revenge on Godzilla, especially after he shows back up. He wants to get revenge. And the specific word he uses is kataki, which has a actually, like, specific different meaning kind of in Japanese. Like, kataki is revenge, but it kind of comes from this older term from, like, the Meiji Restoration era, earlier than that, I think. Kataki uchi, which is basically a legal revenge. Essentially, people could go to the government... get permission from the government to go commit revenge on someone who had killed someone to the close to them or wronged them, and get like a sanctioned, like, yeah, you can go get revenge on this person. It is fascinating.
Because like that is kind of what happens. Like that is like a, I guess, a legal revenge.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Like there is like this article I've found from the University of Cambridge. They have a example of a authorization letter from someone, what's his name? Kume Kotaru, an 18-year-old, and his uncle wanted to go track down and kill the enemy of his father, who was murdered by some guy. And so they get a letter back saying, concerning your request that you and your brother be given leave to track down and kill Takizawa Kuyamon, the enemy of your late father Yagobe, instructions have been issued that you leave as requested. You may set out as soon as you wish. The matter has been duly notified and registered at the local office of the Bakufu, the office of local commissioner, and a copy of the entry is furnished herewith. If all goes well and you succeed in killing your enemy, you must comply with the regulations and report the circumstances to local officials. Like, it was a legal revenge killing that you could get.
We gotta bring that back.
It is...
Are you kidding me? That's how we fix, that's how we fix the world.
Just legal revenge? Just bring back Katakiuchi?
Yeah! Revenge? No, yeah, we got, like, look, to hell with democracy, we gotta do world shogunate. That's what we gotta do. That's the only way.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a pro-monarchy guy, but also a weeaboo at the same time.
Oh my lord. Just get your own a bunch of rice fields and a bunch of retainers. I'm in that future world. I'm gonna be a wandering ronin. I'm gonna get the straw hat and everything.
What's gonna be your job in the shogunate? I'm gonna be the wandering ronin. Everybody wants to be the wandering ronin. Not everybody can be a wandering ronin. Somebody has to just, you know, be a rice farmer. And somebody has to be a, you know, just a random civilian that the samurai kill for no reason.
Yeah.
That'll be my job.
Yeah, I'm specifically gonna be the guy that gets the sword tested on after they get a new one. No. They walk out of the blacksmith, they're like, ah, yes, my new blade. You there, slash.
I'd tell them, like, well, the last time, the last guy I did this for, my top slid right off. I'm still in one piece here.
I'm walking down the street and a random shogun decides to do the fucking mist finer on me. But
and enough of what the true world government should be.
But yeah, he wants to do a kataki. He wants to get a revenge, and he gets permission to do his revenge. And that kind of, this is a thing in Japanese history, is permissible revenge.
DB, that's why I'm glad to have you on this show with me. It's because you know you're aware of shit like that. I didn't know about Kataki at all.
I'm just gonna send my thanks shout out to Mobile Suit Breakdown, fantastic podcast. They talked about this first.
But yeah, Koichi's, he's very determined to, get revenge on Godzilla. Like you said,
he wants him dead. He wants vengeance. But he's telling Noriko all of this, that he wants vengeance on Godzilla. He wants to avenge the people he got killed. And he feels like he cannot live his life until he does. He feels like he is already dead.
His war isn't over yet, in his own words.
And she tells him, you are alive. You have to live. You have things to live for.
My God, because like the little story she tells about, like, her parents dying in the firebombing, and, like, the last thing they tell her is that she has to survive, and that, like, she has to go on. And, like, she, like, her character is just, like, all of that. Even before she tells that story, that is, like, her whole deal is, like, she is going to live. This is not a woman who's going to die. Unless Godzilla shows up.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever read Fire Punch?
I have not. What is it?
It is a manga By Tatsuki Fujimoto, the guy who writes Chainsaw Man. It is an incredibly dark manga. And basically the manga, the first chapter ends with the main character's younger sister burning to death and telling him, go live. And that is his driving force through the entire plot, is live.
Holy shit.
And it is... It is very similar. It is a very different story from Godzilla Minus One. It is a very heavy story. If you're gonna read it and you are sensitive to a lot of content, look up content warnings, because it's got everything. But it's a good story. Check it out. Similar themes. Off the podcast record, I can send you a fucking whole-ass link to the whole thing.
Oh, I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah, absolutely.
It's on Manga Dex. It's a good manga.
Okay, manga. Okay. Oh, good. I might actually have to start reading some manga then. And also, note to future me, cut
all that piracy talk. This is
a podcast is... about a Toho product. We got a... getting a little hotter on the collar here. But yeah, they have that conversation where Noriko is like, you have to live. You have to, want to survive. And she's got the job at Ginza at that point. And the government has done a little something. They have put out
a
sort of minefield.
Yeah. Also, right after this, he wakes up the next morning, and that is the sweetest scene in the movie, where Noriko is making radish soup. And it is just adorable.
And Akiko's just repeating, radish.
She's like, radish. She's so... That's a good baby. That's a good baby.
I know. I see that kid, and I'm just like, look, I want to pick you up and do the toss and catch you in the air kind of thing. You down with that?
Oh, yeah. That's... Just the lift way high up. And
oh, yeah. And yeah, Noriko goes off to work, and Koichi's going to be a cool stay-at-home dad for the day.
And then we get the absolute devastation of a radio announcement.
Yeah.
Godzilla's in Ginza.
There's a giant dinosaur-like creature. This is not a test. This is not a hoax.
A giant sea creature has come ashore in Ginza. Get the fuck out. And it is just a stomach drop moment of, oh shit, Ginza.
And man,
they do chaos really well.
They do the crowd running, and it's like a low angle where we don't really see anybody above the waist for a little bit. We just see running. There's a little girl there. She gets picked up,
and then just a train flips into camera, and it is a oh fuck, he's here. He's not coming, he's here.
He's here. And fans of the Godzilla franchise will know Godzilla's got a bit of a thing for trains.
Oh yeah.
Is unfortunate for Noriko, because she's on a train.
And we get probably my favorite use of the Godzilla theme in the last 20 years. Because, goddamn, that is a moment to put in the theme. She just turns around and the camera goes through the window, and there he is, and you get those fucking horns.
We get the horn, and the reveal shot is so cool, because we see Noriko turns to look out the window, and we see Godzilla in the reflection. She says, is that Godzilla? Cut to the theme. Wow. As he's crashing through. And another kind of... this movie has a bit of a dark comic feel to it at times. When Godzilla's walking through the street and is crunching the pavement up, there's a bit where he steps right behind the crowd and the pavement shoots up and some people fly up and down.
It fucking springboards them up. Yeah.
It's whoa! It's
bling.
I feel it's funny, but I feel bad about laughing. Like,
it's kind of funny though, because they like the way it's animated. Like, some of the people fall down a little too fast.
They do.
And it looks kind of comical. It's kind of good, though.
I don't want to say it looks funny in, like, a bad way. It's just, like, it's a dark... I found it darkly comic.
There's a few moments of, like, dark comedy, honestly. Like, I feel like... The two train conductors' screaming faces when they have to stop the train is great. I love when Godzilla just goes for the train for no reason. He's just like, ow, fucking nom.
And well, again,
it's excellent.
It's very much like a cat.
Oh yeah. He wants a snack.
He's like, cause he picks it up and he's not even like eating it or anything. He's just holding it in his mouth, which I've like my cat does. Guillermo does that with his toys all the time. He'll just like walk around with his stuffed dinosaur in his mouth.
Aww.
It's very cute. And Godzilla is very cute when he's got that train. And, like, Noriko... But Noriko's inside it, and she's doing, like, kind of, like, action hero shit.
Oh, yeah. She's dangling. I gotta say, there's a very good shirt from Cavity Colors apparel with, like, sketch of this by Matt Frank, the Godzilla comic artist. It's a very good shirt. I like it a lot.
Wait, so it's a shirt of, like, Noriko? Oh, okay. Of
him with the train in his mouth.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought it was going to be of Noriko hanging on to the passenger rail and be like, with, like, a hang in there, baby.
No, but that would be excellent. I would wear that. I would wear that shirt.
Okay, maybe we'll do that for official Mechapodzilla merch.
We can do that for merch.
Okay. Watch this space, people, okay?
If you want that shirt, listen to the podcast and share the podcast around with your friends. No, she does multiple action movie stuff. She's like dangling. She's dropping to other bars to dangle from.
She hits the water like a pro.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's like legs together. Straight as an arrow.
And she dodges the train when he drops it in after her.
I know. Like... I did, even though both times I've watched this movie, I totally expected the, like, train to fall on her, but, like, she pass, like, pass through her, like, she pass through the train. And I don't know why I keep thinking that'll happen, because, like, that's not the way this movie does its action. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm too MonsterVerse pilled at this point. I need to watch some more,
Yeah. But yeah, no, then we get Godzilla just having a personal vendetta against the Nippon Theater. He, like, full-on, like, bear hugs it. He's tossing pieces around.
And they got the radio crews, like, narrating the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, just like the TV crew at the TV tower in the OG. Mm-hmm. They're fucking hanging there till the last second.
Yeah, and I don't think they made it. And because, like, Godzilla, like, destroys that building accidentally. It looks like he stubs his toe on it, basically.
He doesn't even notice them. He bumps the building with his thick-ass thighs and knocks them down to the ground, and I'm assuming they die.
Oh, there's no way. I'm sure that there was, like, a pillow factory right next to the building they were standing on, and they landed in, like, a big pile of freshly fluffed pillows.
The building kind of falls at a 90-degree angle, and they kind of land feet down. Theoretically, they could have just fallen standing up. Just walk away.
But, yeah, like... And then the government tries to do... something again.
Shigeshima shows up and grabs Noriko and helps her escape. Godzilla is just, he is tail whipping, he is purposefully stepping on people, he is violent, he is not here to just hang out. Like, Shin Godzilla, I think, caused more property damage to Tokyo. Mostly because Tokyo was fully built at that time, in 2016. But he didn't do it out of, like, anger. He didn't come into Tokyo out of anger. He came there just because he kind of wandered in. this guy wants blood.
Yeah, like this, minus one has a lot of, I don't know, it has a few like strong thematic parallels with Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, you know, GMK, with the sort of attitudes about like military and like sort of like Japan in World War II and like what Godzilla represents with regards to that. And they both, and they're both similarly very much out for blood for like, you know, your Tokyo, for like the Japanese people and for Tokyo. Like they both feel, both Godzillas are like representative of like something of a reckoning.
I know he is here to, like, yeah, we haven't discussed the title. He is here to take Tokyo from zero to minus one. That is why it's called minus one. He is destroying what little they already had. It's fucking rough.
It's so hard. Like, it's not hard to talk about, but like, just like the way that this movie hits me, it's like it feels like whatever I have to say about it isn't doing it justice. But
yeah,
you feel that minus one, especially in this Ginza, in the destruction mm-hmm. of Ginza, because you know the tanks show up and they throw some shots. We pitiful. All know that that's not going to do anything.
It's comical almost,
and like much in the same way that the mines did nothing, and we see Godzilla pour through the smoke. Godzilla does the same thing here. The crowd has ceased running, and they were staring up in hope that maybe Godzilla had been defeated by the tanks. And all they can do is just stand there and watch as the Godzilla begins to glow. His plates, really great touch. They like shoot up mm-hmm. out of his back. They, like, one by one.
They pop out of him. And I love how the glow looks, because it almost is so, like, the way they did the effect looks almost like the film itself is corrupted by the lighting of it. Like, there's a bunch of, like, little artifacting on it. And I'm pretty sure that's not my copy of the film. Like, it looked like that in the theater.
Yeah, no, you're right, because, like, I watched it, and I had good quality on my picture. But yeah, like, just the way that everyone is looking on in horror, but, like, Koichi, specifically, because he's seen this already.
Mm-hmm. He knows
what's coming.
He knows what it is. He just hasn't seen it up close.
But he still can't move. He's like, still stunned.
The people start to run, and it's too fucking late. And, like, it's so snappy and sudden and just... Oh, like, my God, it is like a atomic bomb. It is very purposefully like the fucking footage of the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, and like, it feels extra punchy because you said it with the heat rays kind of like a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like definitely sold by Godzilla's, the spines punching back into him when he fires the heat ray.
And he whips forward, too.
Oh, yeah.
Got like some motion.
The force behind all of it is very... Again, it cannot be stated. This movie deserved the VFX Oscar, mm-hmm. like, so much.
And, yeah, the heat ray itself causes a huge explosion, but just the beam, the path of travel... wipes buildings off the ground. It's in, like, this, I was in awe in the theater. I was, like, jaw-dropped moment. This is a phenomenal sequence of just terror. And there's just a cut to everyone on the street just standing, watching, realizing there's nothing they can fucking do. They're dead. And the cruelest moment of the film Noriko pushes Shikishima out of the way into cover and is blown away by the explosion.
God, that's the scene that it's gotten me both times I've watched it. I immediately tear up.
It's
everything taken. Everything.
And he's just in shock. He doesn't believe it. He's like just asking for her.
And like, and
there's no one. There's no one on the streets left.
I put in my notes, I just, Koichi is alone.
Mm-hmm. I just put, it's cruel. And he breaks down, and then there's a moment, like, they kind of pan up from Godzilla, and they don't focus on Godzilla, they focus on the just cloud. Like, the mushroom cloud that he made. And it is very purposeful.
Because what especially gets me about this scene, like, what really gets the waterworks going for me, is, like Koichi falling to his knees, and, like the second he just starts screaming in agony, the black rain from the blast just starts to pour down on his face. And, like... And then, to, like, mirror that, Godzilla also just screams into the sky in, like, an act of anger. And that will conclude part one of our discussion of Godzilla Minus One. Join us later this month for part two. B and I will be there for the conclusion. Thank you for listening. Bye.